Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a story, continuing the story. Lord Chaitanya delivers Amoga, the offender. This is taken from Madhya Lila, chapter 15, verse 244 through verse 301. Quite a long story. And of course, we left off yesterday. The Sarvabhauma returned home and he was speaking with his wife about their son-in-law. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son-in-law was Amoga. Of course, he's a Brahmin. But he had offended Lord Chaitanya during lunch. During prasadam time, Sarvabhauma was serving him. And then Amoga criticized Lord Chaitanya. "Oh, you're eating so much food. You're eating enough food for 20 people. What type of vairagi are you? What type of renunciate are you?" So then, of course, he ran away after that. And his father-in-law, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, chased him with a stick. And he felt very bad. And Lord Chaitanya was laughing. He didn't take it seriously. But Sarvabhauma took it very serious. And he was very concerned about it. So now he's speaking to his wife. He said, Sarvabhauma said, "Chaitanya Gosani Raninda Shunila Jaha Hoite Tare Vada Koile Haya Papa Prayashchite." Sarvabhauma said to his wife, "If the man who has blasphemed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is killed, his sinful action may be atoned." So he's saying Vada. In other words, Sarvabhauma is saying, if my son-in-law is killed, if Amoga is killed, that will be the proper atonement or prayaschitta for his aparad against the Lord. He should die. There's some purport here. In a conversation, this is from Skanda Puran, in a conversation between Markandeya Rishi and King Bhagiratha, it is said, or rather Markandeya Rishi said, "My dear king, one who blasphemes an exalted devotee loses the results of his pious activities. He loses his money and wealth, and he loses his reputation and his own sons. Vaishnavas are all great souls. Whoever blasphemes them falls down to the hell known as Maharaurava, accompanied by his forefathers. Whoever kills or blasphemes a Vaishnava, and whoever is envious of a Vaishnava or angry with him, or whoever does not offer obeisances or feel joyful upon seeing a Vaishnava, certainly falls into a hellish condition." That part of Skanda Puran, that last part, there's several verses here, these last two padas, or four padas, are often quoted in Vaishnava writings. When anyone is writing about Vaishnava parad or Vaishnava behavior, they often quote this one verse with four lines. Hanti nindati vai dveshti Vaishnavan navinandati krudyate jyati naharsham Darshane Patanani Shat. Harsha Darshan. One should be happy if one sees a devotee of the Lord, one sees a Krishna Bhakta, and he's not happy. "Oh, here comes Krishna Das. Oh, how nice, how wonderful. Please sit down. Welcome. Where have you come from? Take some water, take some prasad." If he's not happy, harsha means happy, joyful. That is an aparad, that is an offense, says here. And you'll fall, such an offender will fall to a hellish condition. In the Bhakti Sandarbha 313, it's called Anuched, which means section. Sri Jiva Goswami quotes the following statement concerning blaspheming of Lord Vishnu. Ye nandanti rishikesham tad bhaktam punya rupinam Shatta janmarjitam punyam tesham nashati nishchitam te pachyante mahagore kumbipake bayanake bhakshita kitasanghena yavachchandra divakaro Sri Vishnur avamananad gurutaram Sri Vaishnavalo langanam tadiya dushakam janan napashyat purusharanam purushadamam te sardam vanchaka jane sahavasam nakariyat. Translation, Bhakti Sandhava 313. One who criticizes Lord Vishnu and his devotees loses all the benefits that he has accumulated and collected in 100 pious births. Such a person rots in the Kumbhipaka hell and is bitten by worms as long as the sun and moon exist in the sky. One should therefore not even see the face of a person who blasphemes Lord Vishnu and his devotees. Never try to associate with such persons. These are very stern verses here being spoken from the Puranas and Shastras about how severe reaction one gets by offending a Vaishnava. This text 262. Kimba nija pranajari kari vivochan dui jogye nahi dui sharira brahman. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, speaking to his wife about his blasphemous son-in-law. Listen, if he's not killed, or if I don't give up my own life, or if I give up my own life, this sinful action may be atoned. However, neither of these ideas is befitting, because both bodies belong to brahmanas. So Brahmanhatya is also a grave sin. So if Sarvabhauma were to kill his offensive son-in-law, Amoga, that would be Brahmanhatya, a great sin. And in lieu of that, in lieu of killing murdering his son-in-law for his grave offense to Lord Chaitanya, if he decided to give up his own body, then that would also be killing a Brahmin. So that would also be a great sin. So there was a little bit of a perplexity here. So he goes on. Punase nindakera mukana dekiba parityaga kailuntara namanalaiba. Instead, I shall never see the face of that blasphemer. I reject him and give up my relationship with him. I shall never even speak his name. So this is Sarvabhauma's response to this offense of his son-in-law. And the responses that he's mentioned and the course that he's taking are all the proper responses of a Vaishnava whenever he meets an offender. There are three courses of action, or three lines of action that he may follow. And if he doesn't follow one of these three, then he actually receives offense. That offense that's made by someone else comes into his mind, and he gets reaction for that also. He becomes implicated in that offense if he doesn't follow one of these three courses of action. So one course of action, if you come across an offender, is to kill him. But that could be get in trouble for that. So that's not recommended. You should kill the offender. If you're a Kshatriya and someone offends Vishnu or the devotees, you can kill him. But in lieu of that, if you don't kill him, then you should give up your own life. And if you don't kill him or give up your own life, then the third course of action is to leave that place immediately. Block your ears, box your ears, or whatever. Block your ears and immediately leave that place and make a sankalpa. Sankalpa means make a resolution, or a firm vow. It's not so much place, but there's people. I will never go to that place I will never return to that place if that's a place full of blasphemers and where I may incur blasphemy, hear a blasphemy again. So the third course of action, which is generally done by Vaishnavas, because we're Vaishnavas, so Vaishnavas are more than Brahmins, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So we should follow this third course of action. These are the three prescribed responses that a Vaishnava should follow when he meets an offender. Kill him, or give up your life, or leave that place And then you make a resolution, a sankalpa, I'll never go to that place again. I'll never see the face, I never want to see the face of that offender again. I won't look at him. So I'll never even speak his name. Just by speaking his name, you get some karma. Because someone is a bad person, you speak his name, some badness comes in you. If someone is a good person, you speak his name and remember him. Then it says in Padma Purana that something like 1/16 of the punya of that person comes to your heart. So if you remember great souls, oh, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So if you glorify great souls and think of them, then some of the richness and wealth of their purity and sukriti actually comes and is deposited in your heart. That's why we have so many days in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sabha, Raja Vaishnav Raja Sabha, the glorious association of Vaishnavas. We have so many days in a year to honor the Vaishnavas. Actually, we only have a few. In our ISKCON calendar, we have about 60 days. 60 days that celebrate the Avirbhav or Tirobhav of the Vaishnavas, the appearance or disappearance of the Vaishnavas. But there are some other calendars. I saw one calendar from Radhakund that's circulated here by the Mahant of Radhakund. And practically every other day, they're celebrating some Vaishnava's appearance or disappearance. And many days, two or three Vaishnavas on one day. So they have about 275 days a year they're celebrating Vaishnavas. It's amazing. So by doing this, by celebrating the appearance and disappearance of the great Vaishnavas, we remember their name, we sing prayers to them, we glorify them, we eat their remnants, and we hear their glories, their charitra, their biographies, their glorious teachings and lives. And by remembering them and glorifying them, then whatever punya and great purity and bhakti that's in their heart, it also comes to our side. Some is deposited there. This is explained in the Puranas. So if that's true on one side, so then another thing is also true. When you spend all your time talking about this badmash and that badmash, and this politician, that politician, and this crook and that crook, and this gunda and that gunda, then all these gunda-like qualities and all these gunda-like attributes, portion of it also comes into you. You talk about this murderer and this terrorist and this infamous person, then their infamy and their terrorism and their murder also comes into you. You get part of that in your consciousness. That's very, very bad. That's why the Vaishnavas, they never want to see. That's as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying, I don't want to see the face. I take a sankalpa, my dear wife. I take a sankalpa from now on, since I can't kill my son-in-law and I can't give up my life because both of us are Brahmins and that's forbidden. I take a vow that I shall never see the face of that blasphemer. Now this is pretty significant when you live in a joint family, because Indians live in a joint family. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, his daughter is Shati. Shati. Shati is the name of his daughter. And she's married to Amoga. And Amoga lives in his house. His daughter has gone to Amoga's house. Okay, I made a mistake. Because I'm not too familiar with how this works. But the daughter's not in his house. The daughter is in her father-in-law's house. But he's basically, Sarvabhauma is taking a vow. I take a vow from this day forward that I will never see the face of my son-in-law again. Because Amoga is his son-in-law. That's a pretty heavy statement for an Indian family. And then not only that, okay, it's one thing not to see the face, but now listen to this. I reject him and I give up my relationship with him. I shall never speak his name. So all of these points we should note carefully. This is how we should respond to an offender. It's a 4-point program. Don't see the face, reject him, give up your relationship with him, and never even speak his name. This is Shastravidhi. These Shastras are meant to teach us. This isn't some drama. It's not some TV serial or watching some soap opera. Live, Jagannath Puri, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya meets the offender, his son-in-law. These books are shiksha, instructions and teachings for us. We are also aspiring to be Vaishnavas. We are Vaishnav Praya, almost Vaishnavas. And if we follow these rules, we'll become Vaishnavas much sooner. But what happens is we surround ourselves with blasphemers. We surround ourselves with envious people. And we fuel their envy and we fuel their blasphemy by throwing our blasphemy in with theirs. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so guru? You heard about so-and-so sannyasi? Oh, yes, yes, ha, blah, 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 blah. Four things we should do. This takes courage. It's, oh, come on, he's all right, he's my friend. Come on, I mean, you know, we got initiated together, come on. We're God brothers, come on, no, no. He's Cindy, I'm Cindy. Don't be so harsh. He's Punjabi, I'm Punjabi. He's my own kind, you know, he's like me. How can I just reject him? It's too harsh, it's not Indian-like. We have to be soft and sentimental and mushy. Soft, sentimental, and mushy. This means Maya. Everything must be Shastra Vichara. We have to live by the basis of Shastra. Speak by the basis of Shastra. It's called Vaishnav Sadachar, not Punjabi Sadachar. Not Sadachar, Punjabi Achar. Punjabi Achar, Sindhi Achar. Sindhi Achar, Punjabi Achar, Hindu Achar, Indian Achar. It's all soft, sentimental, and mushy. This is a problem. It's the biggest problem in institutions and societies. The people just, they're surrounded by offenders and they can't get out of the cycle. Wherever they go, they meet offenders and they continue to meet offenders. It's better you associate with nobody than associate with one offender. It's better no association than associating with blasphemers and offenders. These are very powerful teachings. All these are stories, but these are stories with a moral. Like Hito Padesh, Hito Upadesh. Beneficial teachings called Hito Upadesh, Hito Padesh. Upadesh, instructions, Hita, for your benefit. Hito Padesh looks like animal stories. It's a bunch of animals, the crocodile and the monkey. The monkey said, oh, I left my heart in the tree. and the crocodile takes him back. All these stories, Hito Padesh, Panchatantra. So these are not just kids' stories. Amrit Chitrakala comics. Was it Amrit? Those comics, I don't think they exist anymore. Now it's all Star TV or something. But Amrit Chitrakala comics you saw? Ram Leela, Satyakam, this, that, the other thing. They had all the Puranic stories were told in comic books in the 50s and 60s and 70s, but no children read them anymore. It was really quite good. All the legendary heroes and saints of India were discussed, Tukaram and this one, that one. You saw those comic books when you're young? Huh? Now the kids, they don't want. They want Space Walker, ray guns, Star Trek, computers, sci-fi. Sci-fi means Vedic culture, bye-bye. So this, we should note this. It's nice for those that take notes. I wish I had my notebook. I would also take the note. But there's the four-point program. And oftentimes people ask, if you're a preacher, anyone, grihastha, lady, man, whatever, sannyasi, people say, oh, Maharaj, you know, what, in the temple there's so many offenders. What do? I meet this offender, I meet that offender. Well, Nectar Devotion says, cut out his tongue. A kshatriya can cut out the tongue of an offender. If you offend the state, if you offend the king, then the shastric punishment is to cut your tongue out. Just like if you steal, Manu Samhita says if you steal, you get your hands cut off. So if you make offense to the king or to God, the Manu Samhita says cut the tongue out. Then that'll slow down your offenses. You won't be making too many more offenses without a tongue. You'll be pretty quiet. You'll quiet down real fast. This is nice. So just see if we have the courage to do this, because these are instructions. All these instructions are actually given by the Lord. The Lord's devotees only speak on behalf of the Lord. Even the Puranas say that the Brahmana is Bhagavan Mukh. Brahman Mukh, Bhagavan Mukh. Brahman Mukh means the mouth of the Brahman. Brahman Mukh, Bhagavan Mukh. So the mouth of the Brahman is the mouth of Bhagavan. So the Brahman, he eats on behalf of the Lord. That's his mouth. You offer bhoga to the Brahman, then he eats. Of course, he offers his shaligram first. Then he gives you the remnants, mahaprasad. Then the Brahmin speaks on behalf of the Lord, Bhagavan Mukh. He speaks, so and so avacha. So he teaches, the Brahmin is a teacher. So Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya. He's Acharya, he's teacher. He's a paramount teacher, very topmost teacher, Acharya, Mahajan Acharya of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So in this particular section, at this particular time, in the context of this particular Leela with his son-in-law Amoga and his daughter Shakti and his wife and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these particular personalities in this drama of Lord Chaitanya's Nitya Leela, or rather his Bhoma Vrindavan Leela in Jagannath Puri, he's making a very important teaching to all of us Vaishnavas, all the followers of Lord Chaitanya. This is a very prominent subject in Vaishnava Parad. Nama Parad, Vaishnava Parad, Dhamma Parad, Seva Parad, Jiva Parad. This whole area of aparad is something we have to cross over, and this is all part of the endeavor at the level of anartha nivritti. We must overcome all these anarthas one by one, by good association, by sincerity of practice, and by strict chanting of the holy name, and by the blessings of Guru and Guranga. We can cross this ocean of anartha nivritti and become steady, balanced in mind, pure in heart, and peaceful. And then we can appreciate the Vaishnavas and the Lord and all the living entities and avoid this whole whirlwind of offenses. Oftentimes there's a whirlwind of offenses surrounding different temples, surrounding different areas. And as soon as you go there, you get caught in the whirlwind. I remember they used to say, I won't mention any names, but they used to say this particular devotee restaurant or this place or that place is just a, what would they say? It's a vortex of aparad or something. It's a vortex of aparad. If you go there, the people that frequent that place and the people that run that place, they're always making Vaishnava aparad. So if you go there, then you'll get sucked in. You'll get sucked into the aparad tendency. So you have to be very careful and selective about choosing association on this basis. And as soon as you come up with an offender, just try to understand the severity of what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying. I don't mean to belabor this point, but it's I very much appreciate his response to meeting an offender. Because in Indian culture, especially 500 years ago, it's the relationship between a father and his son-in-law is extremely tight. It's extremely important dharmic relationship. That your daughter that you raised as a virgin has been given in charity to the son of another family and been given to the care of another man. You protected your daughter for 20 years. Now you've given your virgin daughter to another man to protect her, known as her husband. So this is all dharma. This is all the laws of dharma, the foundation of dharma, religious principles, God-centered principles. So it's a very tight and intimate relationship between two families. The husband's family and the wife's family, and very involved and complicated relationship, and lots of responsibilities. But as soon as this family member, his own son-in-law, as soon as he made one offense, which wasn't all that serious, he just made a statement. Oh, what kind of sannyasi are you? You're eating so much food in my father-in-law's house? You're eating enough food for 15 or 20 people? Huh? It's not that he took a stick and smashed, gave a black eye to Lord Chaitanya and cut his forehead like Jugeye or like Mudeye and made blood. But seemingly it's something you could forgive. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took that offense very, very seriously. And his response was extremely serious. That he's saying, I cut off all relationship. That's it. Over. Finished. Son-in-law finished. I don't want to see his face. I shall never see the face of that blasphemer. I'll never see the face of my son-in-law again. I reject him. And I give up my relationship with him. I shall never even speak his name. I mean, it's not a lightweight response. That's revolutionary. It's unbelievable. He didn't take it casually. After all, he's my son-in-law. It's only a small one. He said a few words. After, come on, all right, forgive and forget. Come on, sit down, take prasad. Okay, I won't talk to you for a couple of days. Okay, come on back. Not mushy, mushy sentimental. Hardcore. Well, this is reality. This is spiritual life. Because the center is being traced to God. My son-in-law displeased God. He's totally rejecting his son-in-law, yet we're so attached to our occasional friends, occasional social devotee friends that we have, so-and-so das, so-and-so dasi, that we're too afraid to cut our relationship with them. Oh, what will she say if I never look at her again? What will she say if I reject her? What will she say if I cut off my relationship with him? He doesn't care. Sarvabhauma doesn't even care if his son-in-law dies, he doesn't want to see him again. He cuts off all his relationship. It's like unbelievable. Parityaga kailon tara nama naliva mukha na deka. He says, I don't want to see his face. Mukha na deki. Parityaga, I give up every relationship. Laiva, I won't even take his name. I won't speak his name. So do we have that kind of devotional courage? Do we have that level of faith in Guru and Krishna and Shastra? Do we have that faith in Sarvabhauma to have the same response when we meet a blasphemer? We meet someone who blasphemes our Guru. Oh, your Guru, he says blah, blah, blah. Oh, your Guru is like this, that, da, da, da. And then you think, and then you would say, that's not nice, and you go away. Then next Sunday you're taking Mahaprasad and he gives you something, you forget about it. They're very serious. So we should think about this. Shatire kahatare chaduka saila patita patita haila bharta jajite uchita. Now listen how far he takes it. If that isn't enough, his Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's reaction to his offensive son-in-law Moga, if that's not enough, then listen to this. He tells his wife, inform my daughter Shati to abandon her relationship with her husband because he has fallen down. When the husband falls down, it is the wife's duty to relinquish the relationship. Patita bharta tyajite uchita. It's uchit. Tyaj. It's a duty to give up. So he may give up his relationship with his son-in-law, but then the wife says, "All right, I guess I can't bring my husband. I can't bring my husband to see my father. I can never visit. I can never." Shati could think, "Well, for the rest of this life, I can never go to my father's house with my husband because my father doesn't want to speak my husband's name or see his face, and he's cut off our relationship. Anyway, I'll stay. I'll live in my mother-in-law's house." And sometimes I'll go alone. I will go alone and visit my father and everything's okay. But I'll stay with my husband. And now, he takes it to one more level and says, and tell my daughter that she should get divorced. Divorce? She cut off all relationship with her husband. Forget it. Stay here. You can't. I don't want my daughter living in the house of that offender. He's not going to say Amoga because he already took a vow not to say his name anymore. He said, I'm not going to let my daughter continue to live in the house of that blasphemer. Prabhupada's purport. Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya considered that if a moga were killed, the killer would suffer sinful reactions for killing the body of a Brahmin. For the same reason, it would have been undesirable for the Bhattacharya to commit suicide because he was also a Brahmin. Since neither course could be accepted, the Bhattacharya decided to give up his relationship with the Moga and never see his face. As far as his daughter, Shati, she was advised to give up her relationship with her husband. Concerning this, it's stated in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. This is a famous verse. Chapter 5, verse 18. Guru na shishyat, pitaro na shishyat, napatishcha sansyan. One cannot become a husband if he cannot liberate his dependents from inevitable death. If a person is not in Krishna consciousness, and is bereft of spiritual power, he cannot protect his wife from the path of repeated birth and death. Consequently, such a person cannot be accepted as a husband. A wife should dedicate her life and everything to Krishna, and everything. A wife should dedicate her life and everything to Krishna for further advancement in Krishna consciousness. If her husband abandons Krishna consciousness and she gives up her connection with him, she follows in the footsteps of the Dvijapatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas. This is in Vrindavan Leela, 10th canto, Bhagavatam. The wives of the Brahmanas who were engaged in performing sacrifices. The wife is not condemned for cutting off such relationship. In this regard, Sri Krishna assures the Dvijapatnis in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23, verse 31 to 32. Patiyo navyasu yeran pitri bratri sutaraya lokaschavo mayopeta deva yap yanumantate na pritiye anuragaya yanga sango ninam iha tanmano mayanjana achiran mamupashyata. My dear Dvijapatnis, said Krishna, rest assured that your husbands will not neglect you on your return home, nor will your brothers, sons, or fathers refuse to accept you, because you are my pure devotees, not only your relatives, but also people in general, as well as the demigods, will be satisfied with you. Transcendental love for me does not depend upon bodily connection, but anyone whose mind is always absorbed in me will surely very soon come to me for my eternal association. Now there's one phrase discussing the same point about husbands and wives, and wife leaving a husband who is not dedicated to Krishna consciousness. And citing an example, the Dvijapatnis, they were the wives of the Brahmins who were conducting a big yajna, and a Karmakanda yajna on the border of Mathura and Vrindavan. Krishna and the coward boys wandered there one day because Krishna knew the hearts of the Yajnapatnis. Yajnapatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, Karmakanda yajna Brahmins. They were always engaged in different types of sacrifices, and their wives were assisting them. But the wives themselves, they were always hearing from the Pulinda women of Vrindavan. They were regularly hearing from them because they would buy different articles for the puja, the Didi puja or the Yajic puja for their husbands. They would buy different articles. They would buy flowers and flower garlands and kasturi or musk, and they would buy sandalwood and chandan. And when they did that, when they bought these items from the Pulinda women, these forest women, and then they would inquire, oh, can you tell us something about Krishna? Because these same Pulinda women, they were selling these same items to Vrishabhanu Maharaj and to Nanda Maharaj and also to the gopis. So Pulinda women, they would narrate the pastimes of Krishna to the wives of the Brahmanas. So by hearing the Harikatha from the mouths of these Vrishvasis, these Mathura Brahmanis, they were basically on Mathura, but just the edge. Was the northern edge of Mathura, which just borders Vrindavan, was slightly in Vrindavan. But basically they were Mathura Brahmins. And their husbands were Mathura Brahmins doing yajna. But they had heard about Krishna from the Brijvasis, from the mouth of the Pulinda women, who are Brijvasis, and they had so much love and appreciation for Krishna. As you know, the Pulinda women would take the dust, the kunkum would fall off Krishna's bottom of Krishna's feet. That kunkum was from the breast of Srimati Radhika, and then would fall off Krishna's feet when he walked on the grass, hither and thither. And the Pulinda women would see Krishna from a distance when they were in the forest collecting sandalwood or picking up kasturi or some mineral pigments. And then they would take that red kunkum on the grass and wipe it on their face and breast and feel relief from their anxiety and from their intense desires to be with Krishna. So they had a lot of intimate feelings for Krishna, and they heard a lot about his pastimes. So they repeatedly told these Yajnapatnis all about Krishna Leela, Krishna Lila Katha, Hari Lila Katha. And these Yajnapatnis, these wives of the Brahmins, they regularly heard this Lila Katha, and they became incredibly attached to Krishna just by hearing. And this is the power of hearing. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. They became very, very attached to Krishna just by hearing about his pastimes from the Palinda women selling these articles. So then, when Krishna came nearby with the coward boys came to beg some food from the yogic brahmanas. And they wouldn't even speak to them at first. And finally he said, go from here, don't bother us. And then they came back to Krishna. Krishna said, go ask their wives. So they went very quietly and secretly to the wives of the Brahmins, Yajnapatnis. He said, oh, Krishna and Balaram, they're just nearby, just in Vrindavan here on the edge of Mathura. And they're very thirsty and hungry. Can you bring them some food? And as soon as they heard that Krishna and Balaram were requiring service, they immediately grabbed armfuls and basketfuls of fruits and water and all kinds of articles, and they ran as fast as they could. So they left their husbands. This is against the law to run away from the house or the husband without the husband's permission. So they ran away, and because their husbands were not dedicated to Krishna consciousness. Their husbands were actually against Krishna because they were Karmakandiya Brahmins, first of all. And they were not Vaishnavas. And they were, or at least it's not told. And they were opposed to Krishna and Balaram's friends when they asked for charity. They said, we want some charity for Balaram. Everyone knows Balaram is Krishna's brother. And they said, no, forget it. So obviously they're not very favorable to Krishna consciousness or Balaram consciousness, which is the same. So their wives, this is cited as an example of Shastric Praman for a wife leaving a husband who's not dedicated to Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says in his purport, if the husband is not interested in Krishna consciousness, or he gives up or abandons Krishna consciousness, then what should the wife do? She should give up her connection with such a husband. And what's the example of that? The example is 5,000 years ago in Krishna Lila, when the wives of the Brahmins, their husbands are also not interested in Krishna consciousness. They are interested in swaha, 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 yajnas, pujas, karmakanda, material benefits and elevation and promotion. So as they did, they ran away and they went straight to Krishna with their arms full of offerings. Tan, man, dan, Krishna samarpan. And Krishna is very pleased and he blessed them all. And they even blessed him. So don't worry, when you return home, your husbands won't kill you. They won't say, where did you go? You ran off into the forest. You went off into the forest. I don't so many hours you were there. Who were you with? What did you do? I reject you. As soon as the wife would step out of the house and she'd be rejected. So now, Krishna's Kaviraj, in the context of this story, he quotes one verse in relation to this whole concept because he himself is reporting a story about Amogha. Amogha is his son-in-law. Amogha's offended Lord Chaitanya. So he said, I reject this son-in-law. Then he advised his wife, tell our daughter, Shati, she should reject him. Reject her husband because her husband's a blasphemer. He's a nindak. So a Vaishnava nindak, he should be rejected. So this is quite amazing in Vedic culture. So therefore, there's some explanation here given by Krishna's Kaviraj. This quote is given, this is, again, Amogha is speaking to his wife. He says, you should do this. You should tell your daughter to give up her relationship with her offensive husband, Amogha. And she might say, well, that's your idea. But can you cite any Shastra? Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife is also a Brahmin. She's a Vaishnavi. Or at least at this point, now that they've been converted by Lord Chaitanya. She's a Vaishnava, she's a Brahmani, and she wants some Shastra Praman. She wants some evidence before she behaves. She wants to know that her behavior is supported and backed by Shastra and dictated by Shastra. Because Vedic people, they follow the Shastra. The injunctions, the yama niyama of Shastras, the do's and don'ts of Shastra. So therefore, to further convince his wife, the illustrious Brahmin and great Acharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he cited a verse from the Smriti Shastras. He said, Patim cha patitam tyajet. When a husband is fallen, one's relationship with him must be given up. So then Prabhupada quotes a verse. That's Smriti Shastra. And it's a verse from 7th canto of Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, 28th verse. Santushta lo lupa daksha dharma gya priya satyavak apramata shuchi snigda patim tra patitam bhajet. A wife who is satisfied, santosh, who is not greedy, that is, lo lupa, who is expert, daksha, and who knows religious principles, dharmagya, who speaks what is dear, speaks very sweetly or truthful and dear, priya satyavak, priya, who speaks what is dear and truthful, priya satyavak, and who is not bewildered, apramata, and who is always clean, shuchi, and affectionate, snigda, should be very much to her husband if he is not fallen, patim tva apatitam bhaje means she should worship. A wife who has these qualities, she should worship, or she should dedicate herself, or bhajet, she should worship or dedicate herself or serve a husband who is apatita. We say patita pavan, the purifier of the fallen, and apatit means that he is not fallen. Patit means fallen, purifier of the fallen, or deliverer of the fallen. So if he's apatita, if he's not fallen. Fallen means that not fallen, if the husband is not fallen, which means he's situated in Krishna consciousness, fallen means he's in maya. He's only engaged in material activities, the animalistic propensities, ahara nidra maitun bhayam. He's simply absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Working very hard, getting money, eating nicely and opulently, and having sex at night. And then again working. This is animal life, carnal enjoyment. So this is not human life. This is not dharmic life. So the wife is dharmagya. So these are the qualities of a wife. Santosh, dharmagya, priya satyavak, apramatak, not bewildered, shuchi, clean, affectionate. So she has these good, these are all dharmic, proper, saintly qualities of a cultured human being. A religious person. If the husband is fallen, he's simply engaged in material activities and gross sense gratification, then he should be rejected. He should be left. Tyajit. So, to convince his wife, Sarvabhauma was using this line of argument by citing the Smriti Shastras, which Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada backs it up with a quote from Bhagavatam, which is saying the same thing. So, Smriti Shastra and the Puranas and of course, the Goswami Granths and these Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures are all advising one. Of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam also is saying in the story of Yajnapatnis, that an unqualified husband who is in Maya and not Krishna conscious and not dedicated to Krishna consciousness and not enlightening his wife on the principles of Dharma and religion, he should be rejected. Especially what to speak of, he's an offender, an outright blasphemer of God and his devotees. He should be immediately rejected. So we'll continue there tomorrow. The story goes on. And we'll find out what happened. Tomorrow we'll find out what happened to Amoga, the offender. The father-in-law has made his statement. The wife is listening. Now what happens? The questions are there. Does the daughter reject her husband? Or what happens to Amoga? We have to find out tomorrow. The question is, what are the four things one should do when one comes across, when one meets a blasphemer? Anyone remember? One should not see his face. Na mukadeki, one should not see his face anymore. Don't look at him anymore. That's it. Goodbye. Parityat, then reject him, give up all relationship with him. And never speak his name again. Reject and give up relation are similar, but they're mentioned as two different points, isn't it? These are four things. Don't ever see his face again. That's it. Goodbye. Relation finished. As we said, I never want to see his face again. That's it. He's in the same temple. You're living in the same temple. Oh, there he is. You have to put your hand over your face. And look at the... Oh, there he is. Look at the ground. He says, what's wrong with you? What? I'm never going to speak your name. Of course, some things may not be so practical, but we should try to get the essence of it. At least for some time. We would not look at his face. And then if the person is truly repentive and sorrowful and begs forgiveness and begs us to accept him again, then of course Vaishnava's heart is also soft. And he may not be so harsh as Sarvabhauma. He may again, especially he lives in the same temple. Because Sarvabhauma was easy for Sarvabhauma because his son-in-law lived in another house. He didn't live in the same house. What if he lives in the same room with you? You're a brahmachari. He's initiated by Krishna Das Guru, and you're initiated by Chaitanya Das Guru. So one day he just rips up your guru to pieces. Says, your guru this, that, the other thing. And you can't kill him, you can't kill yourself, you can't get out on his tongue, and you're sleeping right next to him every day. So it's a little hard not to look at him. But these are, in other words, there should be, severe, we should be very considerate about the reaction.